الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you. And Qurans are free. If you go to a website called whyislam.org, and they will be able to send you a Quran in whatever language that you speak. In English and Arabic and Spanish and French and the like. And also have a pen and pencil next to you, as I said before. And make sure that you write down any notes or take down any notes that you may want to maybe look over later on. I am unapologetic when it comes to the rites and rituals pertaining to Islam, the authentic rites and rituals pertaining to Islam. So I do not veer from that by the will of Allah. I want to also mention those who are or have been attending this week Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students to our class, welcome to the Islamic studies class. And this is a weekly class that we give, and hopefully you all will continue to come, those who are long-term students and then those who are short-term students. Today's topic is social services in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah. And everyone knows what Quran and Sunnah is. The Quran is the last revelation sent to mankind. And the Sunnah, we're talking about the path, the way, the methodology of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. He was born 1400 plus years ago in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. His father was Abdullah. His mother was Amina. And he was the last messenger sent to mankind. Allah sent many messengers to mankind and prophets to mankind, from Adam all the way to Muhammad and those all that are in between. So today, I basically want to talk about Muslim services to others, that we had the obligation and the responsibility to serve and help other people. I'm going to pull some examples from the Quran and also in the way of the Prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, and that of his companions. So let's turn to chapter 2, verse 177. That's chapter 2, verse 177. So go ahead and open up your Quran to that. Now, English translation may vary. The original text of Quran is Arabic. And so if it's translated in your native language, then it's a rough translation, but the original Quran is in Arabic, so meaning the wording may change from language to language. So everyone should be on chapter 2, verse 177. And basically what it says, roughly translation, it said, "It is not righteousness that you turn your faces towards east or west, but it is righteousness to believe in Allah and the last day, the angels, the books, and the messengers, to spend of your substance out of love for him, for your kin, for orphans, for the needy, and for the wayfarer, and for those who..." And then it goes all the way to the end, which I can't get into right now because the time is very limited. And so it goes on and on, this particular ayat, a particular verse in the Quran. And one of the things it says here, to spend your money out of love for Allah, and to spend it on our kin, our relatives, and also to spend on the orphans. The orphans in Islam is, for example, if I'm married to my wife and we have children and I die as a man, then my children are considered orphans. And so when the father dies Islamically, then the children are considered orphans. and also for the needy. So here it asks or it instructs us, or Allah commands us to what? To spend on our kin, our relative, to spend on the orphans, and also to spend on the needies and the wayfarer and the like. So we are encouraged to help others and be kind towards others. Now, this was going to be a kind of a lengthy saying from the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, but it's very so important that everyone should listen, everyone should understand this and listen to what I'm getting ready to say. And this was a narration by Abu Huraira, who is one of the messenger's companions, and he says, Allah's apostle, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, verily, Allah the exalted, the glorious, will say to on the day of resurrection, O son of Adam, I speak, O son of Adam, I was sick, but you did not visit me. So he will say, O my Lord, how can I visit you when you are the Lord of the worlds? Thereupon, he will say, didn't you know that certain servant of mine was sick? But you did not visit this person? And were you not aware that if you had visited him, you would have found me by him? O son of Adam, I asked for food, but you did not feed me. He will say, my Lord, how can I feed you when you are the Lord of the worlds? He will say, didn't you know that a certain servant of mine asked you for food, but you did not feed him? And were you not aware that if you had fed him, you would have found him by my side? The Lord will ask again, O son of Adam, I asked you for something to drink, and you did not provide me with any. He will say, my Lord, how can I provide you with something to drink when you are the Lord of the worlds? Thereupon he will say, a certain servant of mine asked you for drink, but you did not provide him with one. And had you provided him with drink, you would have found me near him. So this is a little lengthy, but we have to understand when someone asks you for something, then give it to him to the best of your ability. And a person was sick. The person to go to visit the person was sick, had he done so, or she done so, would have found Allah with that individual. Person needed something to eat, or asked for something to eat, and he said, you did not provide it for him. Had you done so, you would have found me near that particular individual. And the same thing for drink. Had you gave him something to drink, you would have found me next to that individual. So we are encouraged in Islam to provide for others that are in need, to visit the sick. A person needs food, to provide them with food. They need drink, provide them with drink, and all the other things that I mentioned to you. And so we as Muslims, we are encouraged. It is mandated that we help those in need if we are able to do so. Also, a narration of Abu Huraira, he also said that the Prophet said, charity is obligatory every day on every joint of the human being. If one helps a person in the matter concerning his riding animal by helping him to ride it, or by lifting his luggage onto it, all this will be regarded as charity. A good word, or every step one takes to offer compulsory congregational prayer, is regarded as charity. And guiding somebody on the road is regarded as charity. So we have various ways that we can help other people and do charity without even giving them money. It always had to be about money. You could do a lot of other things to help the individual. Help them onto a riding animal or into their car, or help them with their luggage or their bag. If someone is lost, to guide them. If a blind man is lost, okay, or can't, or we're not able to know where they are, then you navigate. Then you help that blind man or blind woman or blind individual to be able to navigate. And if someone's lost on the road, then you could point them out and show them which way to go. Even if someone says a good word, saying a good word is a way of doing charity. And even sometime if you see something in the middle of the road, if you could do so safely, It's like a tire in the middle of the road, or a box in the middle of the road. People are driving around it. If you could stop and do it safely and remove that item out the road without causing any harm to yourself and others, then do so, because that is also a form of charity, and you're keeping other people from being hurt by this particular item being in the middle of the road. And Abu Huraira, he also mentioned this. He said that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, whosoever removes a worldly, which I mentioned earlier, whosoever removes a worldly grief from a believer, Allah will remove from him one of the griefs of the Day of Judgment. Whosoever alleviates the lot of a destitute person, Allah will alleviate his lot in this world and the next. Whosoever conceals the faults of a Muslim, Allah will conceal his faults in this world and the next. Allah will aid a servant of his so long as the servant aids his brother. And so again, this is relieving a grief, a worldly thing, as I mentioned, like removing something and other things that I mentioned to you earlier. And that is, if a person relieves a person of a grief in this world, he will be relieved of a grief in the next world, or on a day of judgment. A person is destitute and they need help, and you help that individual, Allah will also help you in this world and the next world. So all kinds of emphasis that Islam puts and on us, Allah puts and the Prophet places on us to help other people, and not just be about just helping yourself, to look out for others that are in need. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he was asked, okay, which actions are most excellent? And then, so he mentioned gladding the heart of a human being, to feed the hungry person, also to help the afflicted, to lighten the sorrow of the sorrowful, and to remove wrongs of injury. And so, he who tries to remove the want of his brother, whether he is successful or not, Allah will forgive him his sins. So just for trying to help other people, Allah will forgive us our sins. If a person is hungry, feed them. And also, if a person is afflicted with something, I'm sorry, and then we help them, the person who is afflicted. And also, we lighten a person who is sorrowful, who feels sorry or going through something. Then we help that individual. There are many blessings for us doing so and helping that individual. That is Islam. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's what we have to do. And if you decide to embrace Islam, it will be your mandate too, to help those people who are in need. And that's what a Muslim's supposed to be about. Not destroying lives, but saving lives. I have mentioned before that if you save a life, if you kill one individual, it's like you kill all the individuals, or all the human beings, all of mankind. If you save a life of one individual, if you save the life of all of mankind. And this is Islam. This is true Islam. And we are encouraged to help other people. Allah is also advised by Allah. Allah is advising us that our worship is incomplete without helping deeds. So after having believed in Allah, the angels, the prophets, the books, the last day, we must translate our iman, our beliefs, into actions of service to humankind. That's what we as Muslims, we are supposed to do, and that we have to do. Matter of fact, even before the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, became a prophet, he worked with a group who stood up for justice for other people. And one day a man had did some work. Oh no, he bought something from another person, or he sold something to another person, and the person refused to pay him for what he bought. And so he asked the person, "Will you pay him?" And the person refused to pay him. So he went to the Prophet and his group called Al-Fudul Confederacy and asked them to help him in this situation, get paid by this man. And so they went to the man and said, and basically asked him, "Do this man so and so? Do you owe this man? Well, you owe him?" And he said, "Yes." And then they commanded him to pay the individual, pay the man for what he owed. And this particular group, when people are being suppressed or injustice or any kind of vindication, they would stand up for the rights of the weak and the destitute, this particular group. And this is the group that he loved, this group. This is before he became the prophet of the people. And that he loved a particular group because they were a group of action. And Islam is an action religion. It's all about action and action of helping people and helping those that are in need. One time Prophet Muhammad was being harmed by other people. And Abu Bakr Siddiq, his father-in-law and the second Khalifa, the second leader after the death of the Prophet, Abu Bakr, he saw someone was hurting the Prophet, and he went to his aid. And so we should go to the aid of those who are in need of help. Islam and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he basically said that, like, if you see some kind of wrong, then you try to change it with your hand. If you cannot do that, then you change it with your, then you say something with your tongue. If you cannot do that, then at the very least, you hate it in your heart. So we're all about action, our particular faith. And the Abu Bakr Siddiq, and we just talked about him, he would look after the wants of all the poor people, all the people. During the winter time, when he was the leader amongst the Muslims, during the winter time, he would distribute clothes and blankets amongst the poor, or to the poor. There's a story that in a way out place, someplace where there was a blind lady that no one were able to help her. And then Abu Bakr and Umar, they would be in competition for helping people, friendly competition for helping those in need. And so he went to the lady's house one day to give her a hand to wash her dishes and feed her and prepare meals for her and the like and clean her house because she was not able to do that. And so every time he went there, it was already done. And so he went one day, then he went the next day, and went the next day, everything is already completed. And then he said, oh no, I've got to find out who is doing this. I have to find out. And so he went there, sort of hid behind some things where you couldn't see him, and then he saw who was doing his work, got there earlier than he. It was Abu Bakr Siddiq. It was the father-in-law of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and also he was the leader amongst the Muslims after the death of the Prophet. He did this. He didn't make any fanfare, anything like that. He did that on his own just to seek the blessing of Allah for helping this lady who was destitute and needed help. And so we see, and this man was say for example, a president or a prime minister, or I'm going to have to use this term, but we don't really have this in Islam. He was like the king, if you will. He was the leader, basically. He was the leader amongst the Muslim, and this is what he did. He didn't ask anyone else to do it for him. He was like the regular people, and he went in there and he helped this lady out. Can you imagine any leader where you are? I don't know where you are listening to me. Can you imagine any of them going through the streets and find out who needed something and provide it for them? Blankets, clothing, and the like. Do you have any leaders like that? Or do they kind of sit in their offices and don't go out there and help the people and be amongst the people? They may make those promises before they get the position, but once they get the position, you don't hear anything from them until it's time to vote for them again. Then all of a sudden you hear from them, and now and then they may come out for what we call photo ops, and that he sees something, hears something going on, and they show up, and they want to feed people for a little while, and then they go away. Or a certain holiday, they come out and feed the people, and then they go away, and they snap a lot of pictures and some smile and that kind of thing. But this right here for Abu Bakr, he wasn't looking for smiles. He was looking for photo ops. He was all just about helping the people. And any person who is an official, and official capacity, help those in need. Don't make promises that you're not going to keep. If you're not going to keep them, then don't promise them. Only do the promises that you are able to keep, and you're able to do so without any harm coming to you or anyone in your family, anything like that. But help the people. The people need help. And don't leave them without the help that you promised to them. Umar, may peace and blessings be upon Umar, one of the companions of the Prophet, He said, may Allah be pleased with him. He did the same thing. He would walk around the town seeing who was in need and seeing who was destitute, and he would provide for them. And there was one time when they had this famine. Say, for example, they had a famine on the outskirts of town, wherever town you live in. The famine was around you, but not in your town. And so he, instead of saying, putting up a wall or something like that, saying, no, that's their problem, not my problem. But he was the Khalifa, or the leader of all the Muslims, or all the people. And so what he did was he told the different governors of the various places throughout the Muslim land, like in Syria and Egypt and Persia and other places like that, and told them to send your extra foodstuff to the area. And then he fed about 40,000 people a day until the famine was over. He did not shun them. He did not close any doors or anything like that. He knew that the people were in need, and he did not hesitate to supply the people with what they need. That's what Islam is all about. Supplying the people with what they need. Not a photo op, not trying to be friendly with some other people that may not care absolutely nothing about you, but you want them to be your friend. No, you help those that are in need. And Islam also talks about, it's like your right hand should not know what your left hand is doing, and your left hand should not know what your right hand is doing. Meaning that you should do things in secret to the best of your ability, so no one knows that you're doing this thing, and not trying to get a photo out and say, look at me, I'm getting ready to put some money in the collection box. Oh, I gave $50 in the collection box. No. Or you go to a meeting because you're on administration and you brag about all the money you give. That means the more in your mind you're thinking, the more money you give, the more power you have in the say so, and you should have more power and more authority than everyone else. That's not what Islam is all about. It's not about how much you give and you buy in power. It's about you just embracing, or you just empowering those that are in need. That should be the focus of the person who is a Muslim, and a person who has the heart of helping people and not harming people and not being praised by the people. But this is what these two individuals did, that they will walk around town and find out who needed something, and they provided for them. That's clothing, that's food, that's blanket, that's fire, whatever they need, they provided for them. And then they had the two stories that I mentioned, the one with the family with Umar, and then the one with Abu Bakr, with the lady who needed help. And he helped her out and cleaned her house and the like. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he also mentioned this. He said, the one who looks after and works with a widow, and for a poor person, it's like a warrior fighting for Allah's cause, or like a person who fasts during the day and prays all night. Look how much blessings a person gets because they work and look after a person who is a widow, a woman who does not have a husband. Look after her, and also look after poor people. It's like fighting in the cause of Allah. That's such a beautiful thing to do, to provide for the women that are not unable to provide for themselves or provide for their children. Because if you're providing for a widow, and also you're providing for orphans, because if she's a widow and she also has children, they are orphans. And so you get so many blessings from Allah for providing for that widow and providing for the orphan. Doesn't mean it's necessary that you have to marry the individual, but you can if you want to. If she has no husband and you're able to afford to take care of her, then you can marry her and take care of the individual. But in Islam, Muslim women can only marry Muslim men, but Muslim men can marry a Muslim woman, a practicing Jewish woman, and a practicing Christian woman. But that gets into a whole lot of other details. But those are the people that we can marry. And so if anyone sees the opportunity to take care of a person who is a widow or orphans, then do so, because it's many, many blessings in that. It's like fighting in the cause of Allah, or like fasting during the day and a person prays all night long. And that's so many blessings in doing those two things. It is also mentioned about the granting of paradise for helping those in need. Allah's Messenger, may he peace and blessings upon him, he said, there is in paradise an apartment, the exterior of which can be seen from its interior, and its interior can be seen from its exterior. Such apartments have been prepared for those who are polite in speech, provide food to the needy, fast frequently, and observe the tahajjud, meaning the night prayer when people are asleep. And so the hajj is kind of transparent. That don't mean that you can see in and out of it, but not if the person's neck or something like that, you won't be able to see that kind of thing. That's not that kind of thing in paradise. But this is for a person who speaks politely, and also they provide food for the needy. That's one of the main things I want to focus on, is that they provide food for the needy. And the last thing I want to mention is this, is that the Prophet, it was reported by the Prophet Muhammad, he says, when the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may peace be upon him, when he came to Medina, the people gathered around him, and I was one of them, meaning the brother who, Abdullah, the one who was talking, who was mentioning this particular story. I looked at his face and understood that it was not the face of a liar. The first words I heard him say were, "O people, spread the salutations," meaning assalamu alaikum, to the people. "Feed the poor, keep the ties of kinship, pray during the night while others are asleep, and you will enter paradise in peace." So one of the main things I want to look at here again is the fact that it says feed those that are in need, feed the people. And I want to mention something as a side note, is that those who can see what you would call the picture that we have on this particular podcast, the image of myself, and also it has my website, Muslim Social Services Agency.org, and that is an organization that I founded back in 2003, and our focus is to help those that are in need. And basically our mission is to provide food, resources, and services to the poor and to the needy and to refugees, families, and individuals in order to help them to improve upon their quality of life. And so you can go to our website and you can see more of the activities that we do, because we are mandated as Muslims to help those that are in need. And the majority of the people, it says Muslim Social Services Agency, the majority of the people that we help are non-Muslim. So we don't discriminate against it just because it says Muslim Social Services Agency that we only help Muslims. No, this is not true. The majority, 95 to 98% of the people we help are non-Muslims. And male, female, it doesn't matter. Whatever faith you practice, it doesn't matter. You need help, we are going to help you, because we're trying to put Islam in action. As you saw and you heard what Allah says in the Quran, and what the Prophet, may peace be upon him, what he said and what he did, and what the Sahaba, meaning his companions, Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar ibn Khattab, and what they did in terms of action. Because Islam is, again, a religion of action. And so Muslim Social Services Agency is a religion of action. And you can always go there and find out more information about us. And also you can donate if you like at our website. We welcome that too. I want to mention to you, want to find out more about Muslim Social Services, go to our website. You want to find out more about Islam, go to whyislam.org. You want to learn more about Islam, go to whyislam.org, or you can go to American Open University, to that website, or International Online University, and find out more information about Islam. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Ayamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.